Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her intuitive divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of woo and always a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space, and believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, vision alignment coach, and holistic nutritionist. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome everybody to our Abundant Babes episode today. I'm really honored and excited with our guest that we have today because she is magnificent. I've known her for a really long time, actually. She was one of those people that, you know, we kind of crossed paths when we were young. Like I was only, I think, 17 or 18 when I first crossed paths with her. And then it wasn't again until many, many years later. So it would have only been maybe about 2 years ago now that we kind of like reconnected. And suddenly we're both in these completely different worlds compared to where we once were, you know, working in retail and hospitality to now working on like soul purpose type stuff. And all the way from Bali, we have joined me, the amazing Kulfai Dalton. So welcome to the show.
Hey, hi Vi. Thank you so much for having me. What an introduction.
I know, I'm so excited about this. I would love to start off with you sharing a little bit about who you are, maybe a bit of your journey, what you do, how that transition happened for you, anything along those lines.
Well, my name is Kulfai. I, as Vi said, I'm actually from the north in New Zealand and I'm based in Bali at the moment, on a impromptu yet promptly divinely aligned trip where, I've been based in Auckland for the last year and 14 months or so. And previous to that, I was in Bali for 2 years. So I've basically come home back to a space. So many people know Bali is to be that sacred space of soul healing and connecting, purely because, well, if you look at the logistics and things like that, I was given by my landlord. I was staying in Auckland, and they said, "Oh, because I had wanted to move, but I couldn't find anyone to fill my lease." And I'd been living in Bali for 2 and a bit years, so I hadn't had a lease for a very long time. So I felt completely thrown. I was like, "What do you mean I cannot move out of my home? What, I want to move now." And then finally they found someone and they said, it was a Monday, and they said, "We want you to move." They want to move in on Wednesday. And I was like, "Okay, well, Wednesday probably a little bit too soon, but I will do Friday. I will up and leave." And basically from there, I had a week to just decide, leave my clients that I had in the world that I was doing like personal training, but more so around, one-on-one yoga private work and working as a yoga teacher in Auckland just because that's like my love and still working online. So basically I had to take that risk and next step, that next level of up-leveling and commit to myself. And I did all of that within a week. I booked my tickets on Saturday and then arrived in Bali the next Monday. So in terms of, you know, giving you that little background as to what it is that I do, I think it's so important because ultimately what I do is answer to my soul calling. I answer my soul purpose work. And what is involved in the world in that is that I work as a spiritual mentor and a mentor for revolutionists. So what that it sort of aligns with what Vi does as well, because I just started calling you Vi. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Okay, great. We're already at that level.
Yeah, totally.
specific.
Do you have any
Corf. Corf. Everyone just calls me Corf.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not as exciting, but hey.
It works. Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
So revolutionists, so along the lines with visionaries, in that same aspect, that ultimately all what is most important to me is that we know ourselves at the deepest level of who we are. So we know ourselves at our core. We know ourselves at the existence of magnificence. So that's my medicine. That's my along the lines of my branding and everything that I teach is, can you know yourself at every level to be absolutely magnificent, whether that's, you know, the shadow or the light, the combination of the two, self-judgment, you know, projected judgment, whatever comes with that, the process of awakening is to know yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I do mentoring for anyone who is willing. Right, that is the word for me. It's not anyone who's ready or anyone who wants to. It's anyone who is willing, because that takes it to that next level of what it is that we're answering the call to. It's not that we're just deciding maybe I want a location independent business. It's like, okay, what am I being guided to do? So that story of why I shared that, you know, I was given. Asked to leave my house on a Monday, asked to leave on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
For me, I had sat down literally, you know, on my knees to God the week before, said, show me the next steps, because I was in Auckland and I wasn't connecting to the life that I was living energetically. Like I knew I was sort of half-assing my work basically. Yeah. And I wasn't absolutely committing, because I was back in that world of safety of like, oh, but there's like regular income. There is like a house that I can live in. You know, my family lives only three hours away.
Yeah.
So that level of commitment is ultimately how I encourage and how I teach anyone who works with me to live by the absolute, that deep connection of what is given to you right now. Is it that you're moving back to Auckland and working in the world? Because that's what I answered to the year before.
Yeah.
I was pulled home to ground and ground my 2.5 years of spiritual seeking and participate back in the world rather than, you know, live this life of self of what I was doing. And so, you know, every calling is a part of the process of your awakening, but it is the willingness to say yes. Okay, even though it shits me, even though I'm scared, I'm gonna go do it anyway, and I'm going to believe in the absolute support of God herself.
Yeah, amazing. I love that, and it is so awesome watching you as well, because if there was a word to describe like how I feel you and your work, it's like the first thing that always comes to mind for me is flow. Like I feel there's like this incredible flow in the work that you do and your lifestyle and the way that you show up online. It's like, you know, everything is, it's because it's an alignment, you know, things really do flow. And because you've been able to know yourself at that level, and also I guess trust that intuitive knowing, trust that next step for you. And I'd love to know, like, how has that always been like that for you? Or where was that transition between, you know, before your awakening or whatever it might be, that where you kind of found that trust?
I mean, it was definitely a gradual, I'm not very good at saying English words, a gradual process. It was a gradual process. Obviously, you know, take it back three, four years ago, I was working in the city and in the world, and 4 years ago. And at that time, you know, it was, which I mean, many people listening to this podcast would probably relate to it, because it is about when you're in the world and your external life is reflecting your internal state of grace. And mine at that time was not very graceful, even, you know, even though I'm not judging, but I was quite chaotic in the world. Very, you know, no self-love, no self-trust in that way of how I was showing up in the world, completely dependent on my, you know, high paid job and all the parties that I was invited to and that lifestyle. But there was a deep yearning that was just not being fulfilled. And I thought that I was, you know, answering that through exercise. And I really, really, you know, I was like, man, I'm so healthy. I'm going to go do exercise every day. And that's like, I'm looking after myself. But still, the shift wasn't there, right? The external sense of self and the internal sense of self was weak. I started going to yoga quite consistently, and I'm one of those people that if I am into it, I'm like, I'm all in. So I started and then I just started practicing every single day. And if I couldn't make a studio, I would practice at home. And I knew as soon as I had that first class was there's something in this, because I felt absolutely connected to bliss and joy. The words in themselves don't really give that state of feeling to people who haven't felt it before. But ultimately, that's what yoga is about, is helping you experience whatever that feels like for you. So it was all, you know, in that process of being there and, you know, taking those necessary steps, which was, you know, I gave 6 months notice to my job to say, I'm leaving in 6 months time, you know, and because I had been working for them for 5 years. So it was a big for me. And they were, you know, they were like, look, you're just about to, you know, get a new role. You're just about to step up. And I was just like, I just don't feel called to do that.
So, there's that. That little step there as well, as I think it's such a predicament that so many people come across as well, which is why I quickly just wanted to mention. But it's like, you know, what can so often happen, and I see this all the time in myself as well as the people I work with and just the people in my circles, but it's like you make a decision from that soul place, like it's that calling feeling, it's like that pull to do something. And when you make the decision, suddenly you're offered an alternative. And in your case, how you're just sharing, you were offered the promotion. You were offered the like guaranteed success within the company or whatever, you know? And it's in that moment that, you know, so many people can retreat back and fall off that path, because guaranteed the one that's in alignment is probably scarier.
Absolutely. And unknown. And that's that, you know, takes it back to that question of so trust.
Yeah.
What is it? It's followed by a soul calling. That's ultimately where you begin. It's like, there's something that needs to happen here. And then that the trust is like a muscle, just like love is like a muscle. Like trust is like a muscle. And the more we make choices pro-trust in the divine, pro-trust in God herself, whatever word works for you, it is saying, okay, I'm willing. And the muscle then becomes more accessible. The feeling state that surrounds the feeling of trust to me is like, boom, okay. So if I take it back to, you know, coming to Bali this time.
Yeah.
As soon as I was given, hey, we want, these people want to move in on Wednesday and they, you know, my mind wanted to say, but you've got all these clients and it's guaranteed this money. And, but that lasted like 30 seconds where, like I said, the first time it took me 6 months, right, to give my notice. And then I was like, I'm taking action. Yeah. But, now I know that, that, you know, I have been feeling the call to dive deeper into my work for a very long time. And and that was it. I was like, okay, whatever happens, you know, I literally was flying out in 2 days. I was like, oh, I'll land and I'll see what happens. And then once I got here, I found somewhere randomly to stay on Facebook, and I messaged her, and she made it so easy. She was like, sure, I can come pick you up. We can come pick you up from your hotel. Yeah, we can hike. You've got a scooter here. Yeah, it will cost this much for this month. And then I got there, and within 2 weeks, because it's like a luxury retreat space that is new, so they were opening it to digital nomads. Mm. So for me, I was like, I need the Wi-Fi. You know, I need these things. And I was like, I want a pool this time. I was allowing myself to bathe in abundance. And she said, and within 2 weeks, the owner was like, I want to work with you. I want you to be, you know, to run programs here. I want you to run your program here. And to me, that was like a gift, because I've been holding back on my program for over a year because of the investment and the risk that comes with it. You know, it's like a $15,000 investment to hold down 2 weeks worth of training. And so he said, you don't have to pay deposit. You don't have, like, you'd have to pay. He was like, we'll hold it for you until a month before. And then this can be your program home for the next year or two, until it feels, you know, until you cash flow energetically feel really like, you know, our minds say that it's cash flow, but ultimately it's a space of fear of stepping out into that new space of service. So he was basically just very supportive in that way and said, let's clear as much fear together by picking a date, and then you just do your thing and feel really supported and excited in the physical world so that you can share it from that space. And I was just like, this, miracles are happening every day, and I'm just bathing in it. And it's, and that's, you know, what we're talking about is that level of trust.
Yeah.
Is like, it's, you cannot explain the possibilities that will come when you build that muscle.
Yeah.
And look, it's over a 3-4 years process that I've been able to make that, like, act far more quickly than I ever have before. But you can start today and building trust in the universe or spirit or, you know, your soul, that sometimes the decisions are going to, you know, not necessarily be that physically abundantly rewarded. Like, sometimes going back to New Zealand, that was the call. Oh my God, I got my ass handed to me in the world because of, you know, not being there.
Yeah.
But that ultimately grew, helped me build absolute soul stamina, which I needed to bring this training school into the world. You know what I mean? So it all works. Sometimes it's like the trust is like abundantly rewarded in a way that feels really good. And sometimes it's abundantly rewarded in the lessons and absolute space of going deeper.
Mm. I always say that as well. Like, it's, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, because as if you're following that feeling and that intuition and that trust and whatever, like, word I guess you resonate with most, that gut, you know, feeling, the thing is, it's either going to lead you to like a step further on your soul purpose in terms of like the actual alignment of what you want to be doing, or it's going to bring you to a lesson, or it's going to bring you to a teaching, or, you know, like, it's, there's so many outcomes, but it's always positive. Like, there's no such thing as a negative outcome when you're following that bliss and that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I mean, you can, like, I saying, like, that's sort of how I talk about it as well, in the way of, you answer to the ego and the soul. Basically, those are the two decisions that you make. Your ego is your personality, your identity. Your soul is your true essence of who you are. And the ego is ultimately there to school you, to help you absolutely be the most magnificent person that you can be in this world. But the soul is really steering the boat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Makes sense.
So, yeah. So just for all of those people who are listening, you know, so the ego can get such a bad rep sometimes. And so many people punish themselves also when they're in that space of like, oh, my ego is making all my decisions. I'm just like, just accept it. Like, just be open to being like, wow, my ego is totally schooling me right now. And I just love to take the pressure off people. You don't have to be absolutely, you know, sitting on your meditation cushion, you know, Gayatri Mantra 108 times in a way to punish yourself. It's a space to know yourself more rather than I have to do this to be more spiritual. And that comes back to like the conversation about the ego and the soul as well. It's okay.
Yeah.
If the ego's ruling you right now, just know that there's going to be some hard lessons there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's as well, it's like that whole, you're right, like the ego gets a bad rep. And I guess it's also known with many faces as well, because ego can be seen in, like, you know, how you explain the identity of self and stuff. It can be seen in choosing fear, you know, in situations, and there's all these things. But the one thing that I always find so funny is because the punishment, like when you punish yourself for like thinking an ego thought or making an ego-based decision versus following your heart, that's actually stepping even more into that space than taking yourself back out of the situation, being able to witness it with a complete love and no judgment of yourself whatsoever from the external world. And then just choosing to follow that next instinct, you know, like it's a hard process to unlearn, I think. And, you know, I catch myself do it sometimes. I'm like, giving myself like, I don't know, a lecture in my head about something that I've done. And then I just catch myself mid lecture and I'm like cracking up and I'm like, oh, this is so funny. Yeah. Like, and then I celebrate the fact that I'm even at a stage of awareness and awakening in my life where I'm capable of noticing it in the first place, which is what I think people should be doing, is celebrating those moments they can recognize that and not buying into any aspect of it and then moving on. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which can take, you know,
take
some time. But I mean, that's what awakening is, you know. Sometimes it's like really like you think, what is going on in my world? What is going on in my consciousness? You know, I was talking to a teacher the other day who has been a practitioner in he floats people. You meet so many people in Bali. So he floats people in the water and that's his healing process. And he'll float you for like half an hour to an hour. And he practices tantra and does breath work and stuff like this. So it sort of gives you a background as to what kind of space he holds. We were having the same conversation. He was like, man, you know, I've been doing this work for so long, and sometimes I even catch myself and think, am I still dealing with this? You know, is this still happening?
Mm.
So I always say to people and my clients in a way of, you know, when you're enlightened, like absolutely enlightened, you won't even be matter. You will be energy because you've absolutely moved back into the space of pure bliss.
And
while you have a human body and you're in the world, you're still going to have those kinds of internal conversations. Sometimes they're a little bit more intense and sometimes they're not, you know?
Yeah.
And I always say, I'm not the Dalai Lama. My intention is to reach that space. But, even he says, I've listened to him say, you know, people in the Western world, we have to deal with our desire for relationships, we have jobs, we have bills to pay, where he, you know, he doesn't have any of that. He's in a monastery. He's been supported and absolutely trained in everything that he knows and doesn't have relationships, you know, so there's no space there for him to be like, oh my God,
you
know, egoic relationship right now. So just give yourself a break. Give yourself a break of wherever you are and continue to show up, and it gets more joyful, more easy.
Yeah, exactly. As I'm piecing together a conversation as well, it's like making me so excited because I think it's just, I think really at the essence, it is so simple. And I always say, like, the easiest thing to do is the easiest thing not to do. So never take like the lessons and the moments of like, I guess sharing experiences for granted, because there's magic within them, you know. And if you allow yourself to just get used to the way that you physically feel and start noticing like where you're feeling expansion and where you're feeling that gut feeling and that you know, intuition leading you, and versus, you know, the other more constricted feeling, more fear-based decisions, that's like, you know, that's the first step, or I don't really know if there's an order, but you know, that's part of the process. And then the other part that we've been talking about is then in that moment as well, just like fully appreciate yourself and don't have judgment for yourself. And, like, you know, have fun. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes people get like so ultra serious about it. They're like, oh, I've got to be like, so like zen and like switched on all the time. And really it's like, it's so okay to laugh at yourself. It's so okay to like, you know, completely just like take this as like a massive like simulator journey where everything is fun and everything, regardless of whether you made a fear-based decision, you can still find joy in those moments and you can find your way back to a blissful state. Like there's nothing permanent. Just like if you use your intuition, it doesn't mean that that's it. Now forever, you're going to follow that blissful state. You know, you'll find your way back and forth the whole way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You've definitely nailed it there.
And I guess like one of the other things, because I saw you this on your live, I mentioned it before we got started. I thought it was just a really interesting topic because like money is a topic that really turns me on. Like I love talking about it because from my own journey, like I've come from a very, even though like I didn't outwardly ever notice this, they were all very subconscious for me. And also inherited beliefs for me. Like I've come from a very scarcity mentality type mindset and a lot of fear around having money and part of it being as well, you know, like, and especially I feel like when you start working, particularly not, I don't think these days it's even exclusive for people who are more in the spiritual world, how you've heard, you know, the old, you can't be spiritual and rich type thing. Which is total BS. We're calling that one out. But also I feel like for anyone who's kind of an entrepreneur and starting anything in this amazing world of opportunity we live in these days, charging for your services, you know, actually being in a position where you create your income versus you're just given it from a job. There's like so many layers within this that, that are worth touching on. And I would love if you would just share a little bit about, you know, what you were talking about yesterday, in that live and anything else you might have to that conversation.
Okay. I mean, how long do we have? No. I mean, for me, like, so I have, like you said, same journey. I have come from very little, obviously supported, but, you know, I had my first job at 13 years old and I've worked and made my own money ever since I was very young because that was my belief system. That was how my family, you know, trained us, if that was how we were brought up, to take care of ourselves in that way. So, I mean, you can look at it from so many different angles. The soul currency, which is a term actually that they have, a new term, I feel. I've never really heard it, but you can look back at it in the same space of Caroline Mace, who also talks about, you know, energetic currency, like soul energy, you know, investing your energy and banking your energy. Same thing with soul currency. But the soul currency in itself has sort of come down into a way where I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Robert O'Hara. I will give you the name after this. But he is a student of Caroline Mace's and he predominantly talks about holographic blueprints and looking at the world from an astrological perspective, but also he ties in archetypal work. So for me, relating this back to soul currency has really helped me identify that, you know, if going beyond our beliefs, right? So our beliefs are sort of what you would associate more in the world of psychology, NLP, all of that kind of work, where we're still looking at the human aspects of the mind, where these spiritual teachers speak about all of these beliefs purely being an aspect of the greater archetypal universal consciousness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm like I'm cool. Following. Yeah.
Okay, so it's, perfect. So archetypes are, you know, you go back to Carl Jung who broke up the world one mind, one consciousness into archetypal categories of people, and or personality traits type of thing. So you've got, you know, the entrepreneur, which you definitely have, and then you have the healer, the seeker, the alchemist, like all of these different types of archetypes, and we all have 12 at least as a base. So the soul currency aspects of this, and where we talk about money, so I'm just giving you a bit of background so that it feels really good for you, is that the limiting ways of charging for ourselves, that those aspects come from like the wounded healer. So for me, for the healing community, for example, they have been living in this ancient paradigm where we cannot charge for our healing, you know, or we feel uncomfortable around charging for our healing. And that is ultimately the shadow aspect of a healer.
Yeah.
Instead of the light aspect, which is like, I'm stepping into my power.
Yeah.
And so then this links back to the soul currency in a way of, you're literally giving your currency away from your soul. So you're giving your money away from your soul. Does that make sense? I know there's a lot in all of that.
Yeah. So when you say giving your money away from your soul, like, do you mean that's when you're spending or when you're... So
spending and spending and gifting.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're exchanging as like a part of your soul and then receiving. Is that what?
So your soul in the way of like the stamina. So just like we talked about before, you know, the more you use your intuition, the more you choose trust over fear, the more you choose love over fear, all of those more real states of grace basically build your soul bank. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
So those things build your soul bank. So when you make decisions in a way of fear, which is like when it comes back to money and we say, oh, I'm not going to charge, or you know, it is giving currency away from your soul.
Yes, that makes sense.
The idea of what he talks about and communicates is that instead of saying, oh my God, I don't know my worth, you know, things like that, he says, actually look at it from a more expansive perspective. We look down and say, actually, that's just my wounded healer needing to be empowered. Oh, that's just my codependent archetype within me needing to be empowered, that I can make money on my own and not need to be codependent on my relationship and things like that. And I can be an empowered healer. So then it's not that you're having to sit down and write a million mantras and be like, I am abundant. I am abundant. Do you know what I mean? Like, as beautiful as those things are, if you look at it from this perspective, you're like, of course, there's my wounded healer showing up. There's my, and then you instantly step into power.
Yeah.
So that to me is full currency. And that to me is just like, boom.
So, yeah. I totally heart. Like, I'm having like this massive aha moment. And I think I'm seeing it as well from like a perspective of like, cause I don't know a lot about all the archetypes. That's still an area that I'm like very fresh in learning, but even for me not understanding the different archetypes, it's like, I can look at my situation, you know, I can think back even to when I was first in business, like I felt what made me feel worthy, or like even like I was doing a good job, was by my pay. And if I didn't get like a specific pay, I felt like I wasn't doing the right thing. Like I was messing up, I was bad, you know? And so it was also, and so then I went through a phase, and it was just like, I laugh now in hindsight, of course, where I wasn't earning very much, but I was doing so well in other areas of my life. And I was like really confused, because I was like, I feel like I'm doing well, but I'm not. But then I'm like, but does this actually mean that I'm not doing well? And it's almost like in that situation, I could have looked at myself and seen like an aspect of myself, like from a far away perspective, rather than thinking like, you know, just, I guess like the part that wanted to feel worthy or successful from having the money. It's almost like part of me was wounded, so it was looking for a fix, when really I just need to, like, I don't know, like empower that aspect of myself, or nurture that aspect of myself. So yeah, that kind of can be relevant for anything without even knowing the archetypes. You can just know that it's really just about nurturing and empowering those aspects of ourselves, rather than like thinking that we're wired wrong. You know,
exactly. And it also takes it away from, I've got to go back to my childhood and do all the, you know, do all the healing there, because that in itself then, you know, projects the blame onto our parents or our environment, on our society.
Yeah.
And I'm just over that. Like, I'm over that conversation. I'm just like, how about you instead of taking, you know, 2 years of your soul seeking to reclaim your power from your childhood, to stand in your power now and look at yourself from this holographic perspective, mm-hmm. and say, here's where I need to make the shift, and stop blaming, because this is spiritual maturity, you know, and when it comes to abundance in that way, it's seeing it from an aspect of abundance being abundant in soul currency,
Totally. Yeah. And I guess like the clue here is, is it fear or love? Like what, where is it coming from? And then that's your answer, because if it's fear, we know it's reducing our soul bank, which is like, I guess in a way also our universal abundance, like what abundance we're allowing into our space. And then if it's love based, if it's, you know, that blissful base, then it's increasing our level of capacity for abundance and good things. Oh, I love this. This is so exciting. Thank you for teaching me.
Thanks. Oh, that's my archetype, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. It's a part of just, I try not to do it, but like I'd end up being like, I'm going to teach everyone. We're just having some dinner, but I'm going to teach you about this. I'm like, oh, here we go.
I wonder if I've got some of that in me as well, because I'm so classic for doing that as well. Like always like having to bring something up where I can like share something new with people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. I'm going to have to look into the archetypes more, because that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, you'll never finish working with the archetypal work, because it's an expansive viewpoint of learning how to see yourself, you know, impersonally and impersonally. And you don't have to, like, if this is your first time ever hearing about, you know, spirituality from this aspect, I would just encourage you to maybe go read some books, not have to get straight into it straight away. Like, you won't find your archetypes in 2 hours. It's a long process, because you're growing in itself, you know. As soon as you become a mother, you adopt and step into the mother archetype. So lots of things can change. And I mean, taking it back to entrepreneurship, which I think is quite important, because we're talking about abundance, abundant boss babes, biz babes, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Boss biz. the whole aspect of this conversation is to empower you to look at everything not purely from a linear perspective. And that's everything that is about the soul. The soul is not linear. The problem that we see, you know, I'm putting quotations around that, because ultimately it's not a problem, but hey, if you feel a block, if you feel a space of growth happening, that in your business, which is, you know, charging, putting increasing your prices, looking back at the paradigms of whatever your industry, you know, creates abundance in, that like creates the rules around their abundance, for example. Yeah. All of those are other people's beliefs and come from their spaces of their archetypes. So the more you look at yourself in that way from a or even just look at what, how you're feeling in your own process, that it will be a powerful space to always look, which is why I love that you're talking about abundance, because, you know, it attracts people. It's the thing that people are all about, but it also requires them to do the work.
Oh, yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, it is so exciting. And I do think that this conversation is like so awesome, because like you're saying, if it's somebody who's hearing about this aspect of, I guess, like spirituality and entrepreneurship and living and awakening in life, it's like, and if you're super new to this, it might trigger something specific. Like, be very aware of whatever caught your attention most, because that's probably a good place to start for you to like Google it and learn more about it and find some books and talk to someone. And then if you're someone who's like already fully into this, you'll be like nodding your head, and you'll probably be realizing like areas where you can continue to grow and shift as well. So I love it. There's like so many layers to it. So I'm just like, for those listening as well, like I I think it's just so hilarious as well. Like whenever you talk with someone in Bali, there's like all the Bali-ness that comes with it. You know, there's the chirping of the birds and the construction and the randomness, which is all amazing. And so if you're hearing background noise, it's Bali.
Yeah, sorry. I can't, you cannot get quiet space here.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I would love to ask you before we finish off is, would you walk me and the listeners through your daily routine and mm-hmm. particularly highlight any things that you feel are like success or alignment practices that you have that help you stay in flow and help you feel that blissful and magnificent state all the time?
Oh, where to begin? Well, as if you know, for many of you, I have begun this journey through through yoga in a way of knowing myself at that deeper level. And I think my daily practice now is predominantly what I give a lot of my success and power to, and my soul stamina, because I'm not taking it away from my person and you know, my own soul. I've always been a very, you know, I'm a manifestor, same as you. So it's like I have always been very willing. But the thing that has absolutely been the catalyst for my willingness to continuously expand and grow and do the work is yoga. So my morning practice is non-negotiable, purely because it sets me up energetically to with more strength. It absolutely helps me meet. If I'm feeling shitty, I'm like, well, I'm feeling shitty today. If I'm feeling very empowered, or I'm in a space of expansion, then I know what kind of work I can do in that flow. So that's, you know, I just said flow, like what you say, that lots of my work is about that, because I do operate on a space of, you know, day-to-day experience, because that to me brings me so much joy. So my morning practice supports, it sets me up, right? It always sets me up, and I always do it. Even if I'm feeling exhausted, or, you know, I go to my space of prayer. I go to my space of meditation. I go to my space of yoga. So that for me doesn't ever have to be an environmental space. Which, you know, it took me a long time to get to that idea, right? I was showing up on my yoga mat like, I'm going to be this yoga master. Like, that is honestly how I used to be. But it's just like now it's like the subtleness of carrying that energetic state throughout the whole day, which is ultimately the grace, right?
Yeah.
But the morning routine aspects, I mean, I would say meditation above and beyond. Meditation and prayer, they are one of the same. Meditation is almost, you know, training your muscles in a way to listen to God. Prayer is communicating to God. But the certainty behind that of saying my prayer is always heard and my prayer is always answered, that certainty that comes from it, right? That's choosing love. And meditation is saying I'm willing to be an absolute channel of grace. So, I mean, I would stay there as often as I can. But I also know now that I don't need to be in that specific environment to do that.
Yeah.
But if you look tangibly, I that's the first thing I do. So as soon as I wake up, my alarm goes off at 5. I'm like a really early bird that goes to bed early as well, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I love sleeping. But I wake up ready for the day at 5, and I do, you know, half an hour to an hour, depending on what chaos is going on inside or how I'm feeling. But prayer and meditation.
Yeah.
Basically just opening a conversation to whatever is and whatever is willing. Because that is where I get everything, my business ideas, my healing conversations that need to happen. That is where the divine conversations are. And I'm just like, what? I will never trade that ever. And then the yoga aspects the yoga asana aspects that come in afterwards, you know, depending if I'm in that state of grace and it's quite hard for me, like I'm trying not to use linear language, but, you know, if there's not much coming through and maybe my mind's more involved and maybe my body feeling, you know, like anxiety, because that still happens. Well, then I literally meet myself in the physical world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. During your physical practice.
Yeah. Well, because I know that ultimately that state of grace we can enter into no matter where we are and how we are. But if I can't really enter into it because my mind is too involved and you know, my human's too involved, or then I meet my human on the mat and I say, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And it's a physical practice. And if it needs to be fire, then we're sweating. You know what I mean? Yeah. And sometimes that can be, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm trying since I first started, it would be an hour. 2 hours, but now I've really toned it down because obviously the practice in itself has become, you know, more flexible, there's more strength there.
Yeah.
So I can access certain spaces of myself much quicker.
Yeah.
So just to round that all up, my morning routine and practice sort of goes within in a window of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and that's it. It's not actually... And in that space, if I need to feel love, if I need to feel abundant, that is only ever answered in the moment. So I never have, this is what I'm doing today. It's always, how do I feel? What am I meeting? Am I meeting a space of fear? Am I meeting like, oh my God, I've got to like put my website together and send that person their bill and all of those things that come up.
Yeah.
Well, then that I'm just like, okay, today we're going to do the practices that take me out of my head, which is ultimately getting into my body.
Cool. I love it. Those are awesome tips, I guess, as well for anyone who is currently looking for a way to construct a routine that feels really good for them.
Because it doesn't have to be 2 hours, by the way. That's me.
And it's like, for example, some days, because I haven't been as consistent with my yoga practice. However, I find that some days when I go to do yoga, like literally 10 minutes is enough for me. And then other days, like I haven't even noticed over an hour has gone by, you know, like it's just so funny how for me, it's kind of the same thing that you were saying. You kind of just see how you feel. And that is so what I like to do as well, because part of me as well loves freedom and I crave freedom. And whenever I feel that I'm constricted, I resist. And so I always have to allow, you know, my schedule, my day, my habits to be fluid. And it's like, through that though, I find that I actually create specific habits that I actually do at like basically the same time every single day, but they've just become a part of who I am. So they no longer feel like a habit, you know? And so that like one of those examples is having my like big glass of water in the morning. Like I used to like skip it some days and then I would like not want it other days. And then I'd have it sometimes not till later in the day. And then now I don't even think about it. Like before I've even like really noticed I've gotten out of bed, I've already got my glass of water.
Totally. Also, and that's what happens though. You've got to put those foundations in place of just actually participating in building the soul currency, right? Because I take everything back to the soul. Like build the soul currency. What do you need to do? And to most of the time shift yourself from that space of your shadow aspect into the light. And then once it's in the light, it's like no worries. You don't need to worry about it. You've learned the lesson. You've built the soul stamina around participating in that. And now you're like on to the next one.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell everyone who's listening where they can find you? I'll obviously link it in the comments of the podcast as well, but let them know where they can find you and if there's anything that you want to share with people before we go.
Oh, thank you for this. This has been so fun.
I know.
My website, www.corfidalton.com, that is where you can find everything. I have a Facebook group that is the Magnificent Soulpreneur, which is just, it's fun. It's a space of community, seeing other people in different aspects of their journey, people who are just stepping out into spirituality, maybe just stepping into entrepreneurship, but ultimately have that sense of purpose of, I know I'm ready.
And it's so a great group. You share so much value in that group as well. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I show up in that group. Purely from a space of service as well, and I mean, I enjoy it. So Facebook, Instagram, all Call Fi Dalton. There's only one of me.
Surprise, surprise. Okay, amazing. I loved it. Well, thank you everyone who's listening for being here with us, for tuning in. We honor your time, and we hope that you've taken value away from this and you've really enjoyed it. And that is our podcast for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next week. Bye.